This evening, just want to say for those that didn't get the email that I sent out, there will be a viewing and funeral for Miss Florence on Friday from 10 to 11 will be the viewing, and then 11 to 11:30 will be the service, and then after that the gravesite service will be at Brubaker's funeral home over here in Caddy off of Walnut Street. So that'll be Friday at 10 to 11, the viewing, and then the service at 11 o'clock. Again, I think everybody here knows July 3rd will be our picnic that Saturday, starting at 12 to about 4. Anybody interested in coming out tomorrow? We're going to try to do some sign holding on Front and Pine Street from 6 to 7. Sunday morning, Lord willing, after the Father's Day message, we'll be voting on the church bylaws. Keep Brother Glenn in prayer. No update. Today's the same. Yeah. All right. So I was able to go over and see him Monday. He's in pretty rough shape. So just keep him in prayer. Give the doctors wisdom and guidance. Maybe something that can be done to provide some relief. I know that he desired, if it was his desire, or it is his desire, to be here this evening with us. I know he misses y'all. Brother, we love you. Praying for you if you're watching right now. All right. Anybody need one of these? I'll find the right words here. I got some. They came in. Would you all like one? These are scripture memory verse things. So, does everybody have theirs tonight? Yeah. Let's go over real quick this evening.
Bert needs one.
What's that?
Bert can't find hers, so she needs.
You got one, right?
She just needs.
You have one.
Okay.
I was gonna say it's a $2 charge if you lose it. Hey, and I was gonna say this too, kind of on a lighter note. Brother Glenn, listen now. Don't be eating no cookies while I'm preaching. I know you. Listen, if you're watching, I know you're sitting on that couch. Last time I was there, you had like 4 cookies sitting there. So no eating during church. All right, so let's say this together if you have it. We'll start and we'll say it all together. We'll say life is brief, and then we'll go through to the third one, which is Hebrews 9:27. So let's say it all together. Life is brief, James 4:14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Life is uncertain. Proverbs 27:1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Death is sure. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Amen, amen. All right, before we go further, too, I'd like to read this prayer letter from Pastor Reddy. There's two of them together. He says, "Greetings to you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I received your kind email. Thank you very much for your kind email. Please pray for me and for my wife. We're not well. I got some relief from headache, but I'm having some other health problems. My wife had swelling in her two legs from the last 1 month, but we did not go to see the doctor due to our financial problems. Please pray for our medical needs. Here I am sending you my complete address. You have to give the number to Western Union office, my address, when you send money." Then he says, "Please pray for our church members. 7 persons in our church have coronavirus positive. Please pray for them. Please pray for their complete recovery." And it says here, the coronavirus is spreading rapidly. Many people are dying. And in the second email he sent to me, he said, he thanks us. He says, "Greeting to you in the name of precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. By God's grace, we are safe, and we hope you are all also the same. I received the money which your church sent. We received $400. Thanks to you and to your church and to the men of your church. With our whole hearts, we are thanking you all. please pray for me. I'm not well. And here there are many coronavirus cases. Many people are dying. Please pray for our protection. Our regards to you all, Pastor Reddy. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put this up over there. If anybody's interested in trying to help him out financially, he does have all the information right here. So I told him that I will bring it up to the church and put it over there. So this is the information right here. If you'd like to do that, I'll put that up after the service this evening. Let's do one more hymn here. Page number... That's what page was. 822. Page number 822. Our Great Savior. 822. Page number 822. Our Great Savior.
Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me. He, my Savior, makes me whole. My cry. Hallelujah.
great Savior said in the third stanza, it says, Jesus, what a help in sorrow, while the billows o'er me roll, even when my heart is breaking, He, my comfort, helps my soul. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, and loving. He is with us to the end. Thank the Lord for that this evening. Does anybody have any prayer requests tonight? Any other prayer requests? Anybody at all? Ms. Don?
Pastor Reddy had mentioned the last email I got that his daughter has coronavirus and she's pregnant. And she was quite sick. I haven't heard from him for a while.
So keep Pastor Reddy's daughter in prayer. She's pregnant and then also has the coronavirus. Does anybody have anything else? Michelle?
Please keep Kim, resident at work, in prayer.
Yes, ma'am.
Please keep me in prayer. Because I want to be able to witness to Kim to make sure that she really is saved.
Yes, ma'am.
And pray that for God to give me opportunity in such a busy place.
Mm-hmm.
Also, please keep Medicare in prayer. We still are in need of good staff. And then three people that I would like prayer for salvation and for opportunity for witness is our nurse, Alfreda. Her name is Alfreda. It's A-L-F-R-E-D-I-A. Nurse Alfreda. The second person that I would like to be able to witness to is Mickey. Her name is Mickey, M-I-C-K-Y, as it's spelled. And the third person that I would like to give to be able to witness to is Angie, which is our housekeeper. I'd like to be able to either give her a tract or to be able to witness.
Yes, ma'am. I do. So Miss Cheryl says, keep Kim in prayer, just opportunity there. Time to talk to her about salvation, manor care, needing help, and staff. And then three individuals, Nurse Alfreda, Mickey, and then Angie, which is the housekeeping. Keep Miss Margo in prayer. I was able to see her yesterday, which is a blessing. I'll say this on live stream. Man, it's almost sometimes seems like it's easier to get into a prison or jail than it is a nursing home or manor care. Don't get preacher going on that right now. So I can only spend 20 minutes with her. It was like you had to put on like I'm going into some biochemical plant. And I feel bad for her. I really do, because they got to deal with it. But the Lord opened up a door to go talk to her for 20 minutes, because I only had 20 minutes, and they were pretty firm on that. So just keep her in prayer. I know she misses you. She's talking about Miss Donna. She misses the church. She wishes she'd come to the church. And so just pray that they lighten up the restrictions. Because I don't know if it's allowed, because her memory was going a little bit. And I don't know if they allow it. But she would like to come to church. And as far as I can tell, she would be able to come to church. It looks like physically. She can still walk. So pray about that. That they'd lighten the restrictions, that if she's allowed to go to church, we'd be able to pick her up and bring her to church. Because I know she would like that. She actually said she'd like to come to church. So keep Miss Margo in prayer about that prayer request there. That somehow they lighten the restrictions and she'd be able to get out of there and go to church. So keep that in prayer. Miss Barb?
My aunt, Romy, she's from Italy, and she's Catholic, and she has brain cancer. She's about 84 years old.
Okay.
And she's I use her fitness to her. She lives in Austin, Texas.
Okay. It's a long distance.
Yeah, I lived in Austin, Texas. Mm-hmm. And and also my sister-in-law, Carol. And she is not anything. She doesn't want to hear about the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but she has heart problems, and she didn't want to tell me, and she's been going on for this in September until now.
His problems.
Yeah. So she was in Seattle, Washington.
Okay.
And I don't know how to witness to her because she
is all nothing there.
Not mm-hmm. receptive.
Mm-hmm.
We'll
be praying that God will open up a door for you to be able to.
And then my Chris George, he has and now he's got four lesions on his brain cancer, and so he's going up through that. And he's very, very, very poor. You know, he sleeps all the time. And just
wow.
He doesn't have much to live, and I want to make sure he's
mm-hmm.
received the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's been...
My daughter was working with him.
What's his name?
Chris George.
So for those that couldn't hear from Ms. Barb, please keep her aunt Romy in prayer. She's got brain cancer, and she's also a Catholic. Her sister-in-law, Carol, with heart issues and also salvation, and then Chris George with the four lesions on his brain and just salvation as well. Does anybody else have anything?
Just we're traveling tomorrow to Tennessee for the following week. We'll be traveling a few different places, so if you could just keep us in prayer for safety.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate it.
When will y'all be, when you travel back, you know what day you're
traveling? The
26th.
We'll be back the Saturday, so we'll be here Sunday the 27th.
Okay. So keep them in prayer as they're traveling on vacation. God watch over them. Anybody else have anything? All right.
Oh, I think she's already on the prayer list. But please keep Anna and children.
Mm-hmm. Great. All right, let's take our Bibles this evening and... we're going to continue on our study here in 2 Peter. 2 Peter in chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And tonight we're going to look at the first half of verse number 19. So 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 19. And we're going to look at this verse here. There's a lot in these next three verses. As we finish up the first chapter here in 2 Peter. But this evening, start here in verse number 19. Actually, let's start in verse 16. So for 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 16, the Bible says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount." Now, verse 19 this evening. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day, Lord. We thank You again for Your mercy and Your grace. Lord, for Your long-suffering, Father, just how good You are to us. And Lord, I ask just now that You just give wisdom, guidance, and direction. Lord, I pray You open our eyes and open our ears, Lord, to receive what Your Scriptures state, Lord, that it would help us to draw closer to You in these last days that we're living in. Lord, just teach us, Father, we ask. And Lord, that you would receive all the glory, honor, and praise through it all. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So verse number 19, the Bible says here, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. So what I'd like to do is, before we jump into this verse here, I want to quick go over review to bring chapter 1 all the way up to the end of it. All right. And in verse 1 of chapter 1, we learn that we've obtained like precious faith through the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. We learn in verse 2 that grace and peace are multiplied to us through the knowledge of Jesus our Lord. Okay, I'm going to go through these quick here. Verse 3, we realize that all things are given to us that pertain to life and godliness, and that we're called to glory and virtue. Number 4, found in verse number 4, that we're given exceeding great and precious promises, that through these promises we are able to be partakers of the divine nature. So far here, verses 1 through 4, I'm getting to a point to what it means in verse number 19. So far here, we see that we're given things that we can have and we can obtain, but it's through something. It's through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's through the knowledge of God that we obtain life and godliness, that we can obtain glory and virtue, that we can be partakers of divine nature. These things are here for us to have on this planet while we live this life. Okay, I'm getting to a point here. Number 5, found in verses 5 through 7. Okay, so number 5, which is found in verses 5 through 7, we're found that we have things that were to add to our faith. Okay, we looked at those. Number 6, which is verses 8 and 9. Here again, we found things that we are able to be fruitful through the knowledge. We're able to be fruitful, not barren, through what? The knowledge of Jesus Christ. Anybody that lacks these things that he talks about in verses 8 and 9, anybody that lacks these things can become blind and forget that they were purged from their old sins. Number 7, which is verses 10 through 11, we're told to have diligence to make sure of our calling and election so that we don't fall. And in verses 12 through 15, we're told to remember, to put these things, he puts these things in remembrance. What things? All the things that we looked at from verses 1 through 11. And then we find here in verses, which we went over 2 weeks ago, verses 16 through 18, Peter talks about how they didn't follow cunningly devised fables when they made known unto the people the power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, which they were eyewitnesses of. Okay, if you remember, we looked at the three different, Matthew, Mark, and Luke talks about the Mount of Transfiguration, where Peter, James, and John went with Jesus up into the mount, and it appears that they went up there, he went to pray, they fell asleep, they woke up, and they saw Jesus along with Moses and Elijah. And Peter, or I believe it's in the book of Luke, we'll look at it here in a second, they hear Moses and Elijah talking about the decease of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's going to happen to him when he goes into Jerusalem. Okay, so verses 16 through 18, Peter talks about what they saw and what the Father said about the Son, that this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And it was a voice that came from heaven when we were with him in the Holy Mount. And then you go into verse 19. He says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Now, the first definition you're going to find for prophecy is this. It's a foretelling, a prediction, or a declaration of something to come. So if I were to prophesy tonight, it would have to be something that would be in the future, and then it would have to come true for me to be a right prophet. Now, I don't believe we have prophets today in the time that we're living in, okay? But a prophet or a prophecy is someone who has the ability to foretell a future event, to predict a future event, or to declare of something to come. Okay, that's what prophecy means. So when he says here in the first part of verse 19, look what he says. He says, you have also what? A more sure word of what? Prophecy. a more sure word of prophecy, a more sure word of foretelling or prediction or declaration of things to come. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I believe that that more sure word of prophecy that we have is the Scriptures. Okay? The Scriptures foretell, the Scriptures predict, the Scriptures put forth future events that have yet to happen. In the book of Revelation, we haven't touched the book of Revelation from chapter 4 on. Okay? So, he says here, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. We have also more sure of a word of prophecy than what? Look, this is the question I have. He makes a statement. We have also a more sure word of prophecy than of what? What's it more sure of? What is this more sure word of prophecy? What is it more sure of? What is it than what? Let's go back and look at verses 15 and 18. What do we find in verses 15 through 18? We found, we're going to cross reference it back to Luke chapter 9. Take your Bible and look at Luke chapter 9. Peter says we have a more sure word of prophecy than what? Than what was declared in verses 15 and 18 of chapter 1. Okay? So take your Bible and look at Luke chapter number 9 and verse number 27. All right, Luke chapter 9 and verse number 27. Luke 9 and verse number 27. Look what it says here. He says, "But I tell you the truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God." So what they're getting ready, what's getting ready to happen on this Mount of Transfiguration, these individuals are going to be able to see the kingdom of God. Now look what he says in verse 28. "And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem." So in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, we see Peter says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Than of what? The prophecy that's given here by Moses and Elijah, or what they hear, that he's to go forth into Jerusalem and die. It hadn't occurred yet. Jesus Christ had not yet gone to the cross. He hadn't been in Jerusalem yet. He's not getting beaten. He's not getting nailed to the cross. He's not dying. He's not there yet. But they're finding, they wake up, and they hear Moses and Elijah talking about his decease that's going to be accomplished in Jerusalem. Okay? Now, Peter says to the brethren in this letter he wrote, he says, "Listen, you have something even more sure than what I saw and I heard there on that mountain. I heard the voice of God, the Father, saying, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased.' I heard the voices and saw Moses and Elijah in a glorified state saying that he must accomplish, his decease must be accomplished in Jerusalem." And he's telling them, he said, "Listen, you have something more sure than that. And that is the Scriptures." Now, Peter, James, and John, if they did not know, they could not get that Jesus had to go and die for our sins. They couldn't get it. Many times he says, "Listen, I've got to go to Jerusalem. I've got to be turned over to the hands of the Gentiles. They're gonna kill me. I'm gonna be buried. I'm gonna die. But I'm gonna raise again." They couldn't get it. It just went over their head. They could not grasp this concept that Jesus Christ had to die for our sins. They totally missed it. And I believe even Judas thought, Judas was trying to push the Lord's hand to bring in the kingdom, and that's why he turned him over to the authorities. My personal view is he turned him over to authorities to kind of push Jesus' hand to take over Rome and the world and to set up his earthly kingdom. You see, the Jews were looking forward to the Messiah coming and setting up his earthly kingdom on this planet and ruling and reigning over all nations. That's what the Jews were looking for. They were looking for the Messiah to come and set up the kingdom. And when he didn't do that, crucify him. Away with him. He's not our king. He isn't coming to do what he said the Messiah said he was going to do. But they didn't understand the scriptures. So what I'm going to do this evening is this. Listen, he says we have a more sure word of prophecy. We have a more sure word of prophecy than what I saw and what I heard. And at that time, it was the Old Testament scriptures. Now, Peter didn't need to be taken up into that mount and see Jesus transfigured and to hear Moses and Elijah talk about his decease in Jerusalem if he had only spent time in the Old Testament. I didn't realize, I knew that there was prophecies in the Old Testament that talked about the Lord's death. The Messiah had to die. But I didn't realize how many scriptures in the Old Testament, if you were just looking for it, you would have had to realize that, listen, the Messiah would first have to die for sins before he could set up his earthly kingdom. Take your Bible, look at Zechariah chapter number 13 and verse number 7. We have a more sure word of prophecy. What was it to them at that point? The Old Testament scriptures. They could have gone, at least the high priest and the Levites and those that were serving, could have gone to the scriptures and looked at Zechariah chapter number 13 and verse number 7. Zechariah chapter 13 and verse number 7. Zechariah chapter 13 and look at verse number 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Look what it says next. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. You see what Zechariah 13:7 says? Smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Take your Bible and look at John chapter number 10. John 10 and verse number 11. John chapter 10 and verse number 11. John 10, 11. And Jesus says here in John chapter 10 verse number 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. But John chapter 10 verse 11 says that Jesus is the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. What happened when Judas and those men, those came to get Jesus there in the garden? They scattered. All his disciples gone. Poof. Those that said that, Lord, we'll die with you, we'll go to you to the death. Nope. Smite the shepherd, get the shepherd, and the sheep are going to be scattered. Now listen. There's no excuse. There's no excuse to those that were knowledgeable of the scriptures, the scribes, the Pharisees, the high priests. If they would just ask some simple questions, which they never seem to ask, they would have to know that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. You know, they kept putting forth that he was one. Well, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Right? Well, yeah. They said, they make the comment that no prophets come out of Nazareth. Well, there was a prophet that did come out of Nazareth. And that was Jonah. But they totally ignored it. You see, well, anything good come out of Nazareth? There's nothing good. Well, he wasn't out of Nazareth. He was born in Bethlehem. Now listen this evening. God so does things that if you want to be deceived, God will allow you to be deceived. If you want deception and you want to lie and you want to do your own thing and figure out, well, I'll just get away with it, or this is what I want to believe, God, even through scriptures, will help you go on in your lie if you don't want to hear it. Because what is the book of Revelation? Oftentimes the Lord says in the book of Revelation, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Do you want your ears to be open to hear what the Holy Spirit of God may be saying? Most people get offended real quick and they shut their ears what God's trying to tell them. All they had to do was ask a few simple questions to the Lord Jesus Christ. They asked him a lot of questions. They could have said, where were you born? They could have went to Mary. They could have went to his brothers or sisters and said, where was your brother? Where was Jesus born? And a simple question, simple answer, Bethlehem. So he gets one check mark off of where the Messiah needed to be born, this Bethlehem. Take your Bible, look at Psalm chapter number 102 and verse number 8. Psalm 102 and verse number 8. Psalm 102 and verse number 8. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. That's what Peter told them after he had seen the Lord with Moses and Elias on that mountain. He says we have a more sure word of prophecy, and I believe that's the Scriptures. Psalm 102 and verse number 8. It says here, it says, mine eyes reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me. For I have eaten ashes like bread, and mingled my drink with weeping, because of thine indignation and thy wrath, for thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. Thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. Well, you find in John chapter 8, verse 28, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. He was also numbered with the transgressors. Look at Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 12. Isaiah 53 and verse number 12. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 12. Numbered with the transgressors. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Most of the time, if you'll get a Jew, now I've never done this, but I've heard some individuals do that, they'll say, can I read something to you? And they'll just start reading Isaiah 53. And they say, well, we don't believe the New Testament. I've heard many individuals who've had ministry to Jewish people say that sometimes they'll read Isaiah 53 and the response that they'll get is that we don't accept the New Testament. And they say, well, that's not New Testament. That's Old Testament. And it kind of rocks them back on their heels. Because when you read Isaiah 53, that lines up perfectly with Jesus Christ. Who was numbered with the transgressors? Jesus was. He was hung there with two thieves. He was numbered with the transgressors. I'm not going to look at the scripture, but if you want to write it down, Luke 22:37 and Mark 15:27-28. He was forsaken in Psalm 22:1 to Matthew 27:46. He was mocked and they shake their heads at him. Take your Bible, look at Psalm chapter number 22. Psalm 22. And verse number 7 and 8. Verses 7 and 8. Psalm 22 is another one that is full of prophecy about the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 1. Psalm 22 and verse number 1. Look at this. Look at Psalm 22:1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Now, can you imagine being a scribe or a Pharisee or a high priest when you're sitting there watching the Lord Jesus Christ being crucified and all of a sudden he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You cannot tell me that in their mind they didn't go back to Psalm 22:1. Listen, those men, even today, in the over there in Israel, what are they called? I can't remember now what their schools are called over there. It's off the top of my head. There's schools right now in Israel to where there's young male virgins studying, and all they study all day, every day, is the Old Testament scriptures. Right now. Some people say, well, where do 144,000 Jewish male virgins come from? They're there right now. There's school, tons of schools over there teaching young men that are virgins, and they're dedicating their lives to the scriptures. I say that to say that you can't tell me that that high priest or one of those Pharisees or Sadducees, surely one of them had to spend some amount of time in the Psalms and had to, when Jesus cried out, you can't tell me that it didn't ring in their heart and in their mind. This is him. And then they were willfully ignorant of it. I believe they're willfully, they chose not to recognize him for who he was. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Verse number 2. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and I'm not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. Look what he says in verse 6. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Look over at Matthew chapter number 27. Matthew chapter number 27 and verse number 39. Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 39. Matthew 27, verse number 39. Now remember, Psalm said, the book of Psalm chapter 22 said, all they that did see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake their head saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Matthew chapter number 27 and verse number 39. And they passed by, and they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. No, you won't. No, you won't. He could have come down off that cross and they still would not have believed him. Nope. They would not have believed him. Do you remember one time when Jesus fed the 5,000 and he crossed over to the other side and he starts talking with them and they said, well, what sign showest us thou? Were you just not like a day earlier over on the other side? And it was like 5,000 just men, not counting women and children. And a little boy came up and says, I got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus said to his disciples, make all the men sit down in companies, sit down. And then you saw Jesus take that food and you saw him bless it. And then you saw him start breaking it. And they started coming around those baskets handing it out. And ain't none of it run dry. To where they had 12 baskets full when it was all over. And now you're asking for a sign? They didn't want to believe who he was. They just wanted their bellies full. And that's a lot of people today. The only reason I'm coming to Jesus is how can I profit off of his name? How can I make some money off of the name of Jesus Christ? There's a lot of rich preachers out there. I remember when I first got saved, my pastor said this. He says, you want a good career and you don't care about going to hell? Become a preacher. He said, you can make some good money. You tell me Joel Osteen ain't making some good money right now. Come on. He's making some good old money. All right, he ain't living poor. I don't feel bad for that man. He ain't poor right now. He ain't poor tonight. There's a couple of them out there. You go look at their earnings. How much money they're making. Millions and millions of dollars. You can make a good living off of being a preacher if you don't care for the repercussions that come with it. Right? These scribes and Pharisees, they knew exactly what they were doing and they were being led of the devil. Because if you look at verses 40 in Matthew chapter 27 here. Look at verse 40. Look what it says. If thou be... Then look at verse 42, if he be. And look at verse 43, if he will. Where do you find three ifs in the Bible? Back there in the garden? Or no, not there in the garden. When Satan takes Jesus in, when he's in the wilderness, he said, if thou be the Son of God, if thou be the Son of God, if thou be the Son of God. And then also you find the same if, an if found in the garden. Satan is a Satan. Satan, you often find when he starts questioning things. If. Well, no, the Bible says so. And we can put our faith and trust in what the Scriptures say. You see, I'm almost done this evening. I want to look at this pretty thoroughly. We have a more sure word of prophecy. I don't need a prophet today. And anybody that claims to be a prophet today, they're a false prophet. There's nothing. And I've heard prophets before. Brethren, look. People don't want the Bible. Very few people want the Scriptures. You know why people don't want the Scriptures? Because the Scriptures come at you with authority. Because of the Word of God. God is a God of authority. And people don't like authority. They want to do what they want to do. This is what they want. They want to have God, but they also still want to be able to do what they want to do. They want the best of both worlds. And when you come to God, you're bought with a price, and you're not your own no more. He's now your father, you're now his son, and you must do as he says. And there's authority behind that. But today people don't like authority, so they kind of want to have the best of both worlds here. Listen, if you want to know the truth, God will get you the truth. I believe that with all my heart, soul, and mind. I believe that. I believe God, if you want truth, he'll get it to you. We have a more sure word of prophecy. So, some of you all know what YouTube is, correct? Right? Well, on YouTube, we're doing it right now. We're live on YouTube. And so, one day I was looking back to make sure some things here work, and I saw some other live channels that are on YouTube. And some of them are religious. And one of them had this prophetess, right? So I click into it, and this is no joke. I'm not being funny. I'm being serious. She was in this white room, completely white. And she was sitting on this white throne that had gold trim all around it. Sitting on this throne. And she had like 300 some people watching her. And you know what she was doing the whole time? She was yawning. Oh, this must be the evil spirits coming out. And then everybody else on there. Oh, I'm starting to yawn too. And she's like, you're being cleansed by yawning. We need to keep yawning. If it wasn't so sad, it's comical. How many people we got in church tonight? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 people here tonight. Trying to go through the Bible. But if all of a sudden I start yawning on YouTube here, we might get 300 people watching us right now. especially if I said I was an apostle and prophet. You got 300 people watching a woman sit on a throne and yawn and think they're from God. Why? Because there's no authority. You're not dealing with my sin. You're not telling me things that may be wrong in my life that through the Scriptures and God bearing witness to that. We're in a sad state today. We have a more sure word of prophecy. One of the last things I want to look at here about something that was more secure than what Peter saw there and James and John saw on that mount. And that was, one of them was, look at Zechariah chapter number 9 and verse number 9. We'll close with this verse right here. Zechariah 9:9. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Zechariah chapter number 9 and verse number 9. Zechariah 9:9. I'm telling you, brother, they willfully were ignorant of the Lord Jesus Christ. They willfully rejected him because they thought that they could kill him and have their inheritance. They thought, because they're of the father of the devil, they thought if we can kill the Messiah, we got the inheritance. Tell me, look at Zechariah chapter 9, verse number 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, Look what this says. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. You can't tell me that some of those men, like I said earlier, didn't know this portion of Scripture to where when they saw and heard Jesus coming in his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and they look out there and they see a colt and a foal of an ass and them two there, and he's riding in and he's meek and lowly, that they didn't realize that that was our king? Either they didn't read Zechariah and his prophecies, or they did read it and they rejected it, which is scary, which is very fearful, to where you can have your eyes open to see the truths that are contained in God's Word and you still willfully reject it. You have a more sure word of prophecy. And it's not your pastor, it's not some prophet, it's not an apostle, it's the Bible.
Amen.
And you need to read it, you need to spend time with it, because if you're in the Word of God and you're sincere and you want the truth, there's less and less of a chance that you'll be deceived, especially these last days that we're living in. Stand upon the Scriptures. Trust God at His Word. He said He's coming back. I don't need anybody else to tell me that, because His Word says He's coming back, and I believe it. I have a more sure word of prophecy. Now, we'll look further into it next week. Brother, I only went through four of them. You have the children crying out to the Lord that happened at His entry. You have that He comes in the name of the Lord, the gall and the vinegar. By His stripes were healed. He was beaten, His stripes on His back. His blood was shed that we be healed from sin. His rejection found in Isaiah 53:1-3. He was hated without a cause in Psalm 35:19. The stone of the corner which the builders rejected. Hearing and seeing and they rejected it. His betrayal, the false witnesses. That's just a small portion of Old Testament Scripture that portrayed and said that Jesus had to die, He would be buried, and He'd rise again. That He'd be numbered with the transgressors, that He'd have to pay for our sins, and by His payment we would be healed. Now some will believe that's a healing, a physical healing. I believe it's a spiritual healing. I believe a spiritual healing is like a trillion times more useful than any type of physical healing. Now I believe God will give us, I believe there's miracles. I still believe there's some miracles today. I don't believe there's a gift of miracles. But I do believe miracles happen today. Sometimes people get healed from things. Sometimes people pray. I mean, the book of James says, bring them before the elders of the church, anoint their head with oil, pray for them. And I believe God sometimes answers that prayer. But we have something more sure. And that's the Bible. Stay in the Word of God, study it, meditate upon it, and there's less of an opportunity of being deceived by something that's not from the Lord. I'll give you a quick example and then I'll close. Sorry, I'm a little late. I've had some things through the past couple months, some things sent to me. Now, this is what I believe. The devil always marks his stuff. I believe the devil always marks his stuff. I believe that. Okay? So I got something sent to me to watch. And I watched it, and I started watching. Well, the introduction got me. All right? It was on YouTube. The introduction got me. And it wasn't what I saw, it's what I heard. And this individual claims to be a born-again Christian. And they supposedly have good information, right? So as I start, I was like, just a little flag went up in my head. I said, all right. Kept listening. I had to stop listening. Because as it went further on, I said, no. Something's not right. The first thing that happened was when his introduction started, it was brought in with rock music. And I stopped listening right there. I don't got to hear anything else you got to say. Because if you claim to have all this spiritual discernment, you can't discern that rock music is wrong. I'm not being mean. I'm being serious. If you can't discern that rock music is wrong, and you're going to allow it to be on your show for your introduction, I'm not listening to anything else you got to say when it comes to spiritual things. Now, if you're going to tell me about the weather, and you say there's a tornado coming, and your introductions before you get the weather is some rock music, and then you say, because you're a meteorologist, and he said, listen, you need to get it. There's a tornado coming down Ray Street right now, and you need to hide. I'm listening to you because it's a physical information you're giving me. So the rock music, whatever, I'm listening to your information. But if you're going to tell me some spiritual things, my ears are now shut. Because if you can't have the discernment that rock music is wrong, then I ain't listening to anything else you got to say. Because I know rock music is wrong. It's not godly. Okay? The Lord will give you discernment. And the devil will always mark his stuff. And there will always be a little red flag here, a little red flag there, a little red flag there to kind of give you some warnings of this might not be from God. Even though it says it is. So, the longer you spend in here, the more time you spend in prayer and drawing close to the Lord Jesus Christ, the better your radar will be when something comes on the map that's not from God, but yet it says it is. Does it line up with Scripture? Does it line up with Scripture? That's what I base everything. Does it line up with the Bible? If it doesn't line up with the Bible, then I'm gonna have to second guess it a little bit. And if I take it a little further, I realize that I'm not going to go with it because it's not. It doesn't bear witness with my spirit, and doesn't bear witness to what the Word of God says. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Lord, I thank you for your Word. Lord, I thank you for 2 Peter. Dear Lord, I thank you that we have a more sure word of prophecy. Dear Lord, that the Scriptures, that we can go to them, that we can trust them. Lord, that we have the Holy Spirit that bears witness to your Word. Lord, I thank you, dear God, that when we get born again, that your Spirit now dwells within us and will now give us discernment, will give us direction, will give us guidance, will give us help. Lord, we don't have to be ignorant. We can be wise, as it says there in Ephesians chapter 6, to not be ignorant of the devil's devices, the wiles, the snares, the traps that he set, dear God. Lord, you've given us ability to be aware of it. And Lord, I pray you'd help us as we go forward in this study, Lord, that we would just, Lord, put more faith and trust in what you say. Lord, as it says there in 2 Corinthians that we walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, we walk by what does your word say? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Help our faith to grow. Help our discernment to grow. Help us to be faithful to you, Lord, till we go home to heaven someday. Lord, we just ask these things all now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. And again, this evening, if you plan on staying for prayer, again, I'd like to do it individually. I got some good feedback from it. So just if you're going to stay for prayer, let's just keep our leaders in prayer. Keep Brother Les and Sister Nancy, if you're watching, we're going to pray for you again this evening. Brother Glenn will be praying for you also in your back. And keep them three individuals in prayer. That God would just help each one of them. Pray for our leaders. Pray for Pastor Reddy. Pray for his wife. Pray for his daughter who's pregnant. That God would help them there. Pray for the churches that are in India. Pray for our president. Pray for our Supreme Court. And those that are in positions of authority this evening. And so if you're going to stay, let's take some time and go to the Lord in prayer. Let's go before the throne and ask God just to intercede on these matters this evening. Okay? So if I don't see you, I'm praying, you head out of here. Love you, appreciate you, and Lord willing, see you on Sunday.